Okay, so Apple has announced the new Apple Silicon M5 Pro and the M5 Max. Now, the really interesting thing about these two processors is it's not just the next iteration of the Pro and the Max series. These are actually quite different for several important reasons, including the use now of the Fusion architecture to make the SoC. We're going to talk about that. The fact there's a new micro architecture for the CPU. We're going to talk about that. It's really quite a different set of chips. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. Okay, so let's dive into this. These two new processors from Apple. So the first big thing here about these chips is this Fusion architecture. So they're based on Apple's new Fusion architecture. We've heard about Fusion before, and I'll cover that in a minute. This variation of it connects two dies with advanced IP blocks into a single SoC, which is kind of what the previous Fusion interconnect did. But in this case now, it brings together two third generation 3-nanometer dies with high bandwidth and low latency using advanced packaging, so that overall you've got a CPU, a GPU, a media engine, a unified memory controller, neural engine, and Thunderbolt 5 after you've stitched these two dies together. So previously, if you remember, if we go back to the M3 Max, we kind of had the M3, the M3 Pro, the M3 Max. And then the M3 Ultra was basically two of those stuck together with this interconnect. And this was the Fusion interconnect. This is what we were used to seeing. So Fusion was for scaling previously, but now it's for building SoCs, much like chiplets and tiles from other chip makers, Intel, AMD, and so on. So we'll look at that more in a second, but let's dive into the M5 Pro. So 3-nanometer, third generation 3-nanometer. And it has six high performance cores, which Apple are now calling super cores. This is the second big change. The first big change was this thing about the Fusion architecture, which we haven't finished with yet. And the second one is now that the performance cores are now not called performance cores, they're called super cores. And the reason for that is there are now 12 not efficiency cores, which is what we used to have. There are now 12 performance cores. So we've gone up a level. So performance cores are now super cores, and what were the efficiency cores are now performance cores, but they're not efficiency cores. These are not derived from the existing efficiency cores that you have in the M5. This is the other big change. This is a new CPU microarchitecture, in fact, derived from the super cores. So we've got a new set of cores, super cores, which were what we had in the M5. And now they've kind of made the efficiency versions of those. So back in the day, we used to have, you know, big and little performance and efficiency. And then kind of over in the smartphone area, mainly in Android, we kind of ended up with, you know, performance cores, workload cores, and then efficiency cores. And then people like MediaTek said, no, we're having no little cores, we're just having big cores, which would be the performance cores and the workload cores. So Apple are doing the same thing. We kind of got rid of the efficiency cores, we're going upwards, which is a big core only architecture, if we were using MediaTek's language. So it's super cores and performance cores, of which the performance cores are derived from the super cores. On top of that, you get 20 core GPU, and then the media engine, you've got support for H.264, H.265, AV1 decode, and of course, ProRes encode decode. So here is a kind of a symbolic representation of an M5 Pro. And at the top, you can see here, there's this CPU area. Now, my understanding is that's one of the two dies. So they're stitching together these two dies. So the CPU is its own piece of silicon, it's manufactured, and then they stitch it together using the advanced packaging with the bottom bit, which has got the GPU and the memory controller, and they're using the Fusion interconnect, this Fusion architecture, so the two things can talk to each other. So this is a new way for Apple. Now, as I said, other chip makers have used this kind of idea, tiles, chiplets, and so on, but basically allows them to concentrate on making a CPU die, allows them to concentrate on making GPU tie, and the yield and the layout and all this kind of stuff, these are completely independent, and then they stitch them together. That's the basic thing in one package to make one SoC. So here you can see is our six super cores. Here are our 12 performance cores, which are in fact derived from the super cores now. So this is the other thing to note, just to make you understand this, the M5 Pro and the M5 Max have microarchitecture designs that are not in the M5. Always before, The M5, the Pro and the Max were just about scaling up what was in the lower one. This is new. So the M5 Pro and the M5 are actually different, significantly different to the M5. And then here we've got our 20-core GPU. So what about the M5 Max? Well, same thing, third generation, 3 nanometer. Now, this is what's going to be interesting. Basically, it's the same CPU setup. So you've got 6 super cores, 12 high performance cores, and now you've got a 40-core GPU. Now, most of this is all up to because it depends on exactly what configuration of MacBook you buy with what size screen and what size memory and all storage, and you can configure it all. But this is talking about the general overall design, and then again, the same media engine. So if we looked at a symbolic representation of the M5 Max, then now you can see you've got this top part, which is basically the same CPU part as the M5 Pro, and then a bigger GPU part at the bottom. So won't go labeling all individually, that same idea. So 6 cores, 12 cores, 4 cores, and then the Fusion Interconnect to stitch it together to make this one SoC. Now, as a result of that, because the Pro and the Max are not just about scaling up from the normal version one, we actually find that there's a slight difference in ratio. So before, the M4 Pro was a 14-core CPU, which was 10 performance cores and 4 efficiency cores. And the M4 Max was a 16-core, which was a 12 plus 4. Okay, now notice we had lots of performance cores and a few efficiency cores. Now that's changed. Now we've got 6 super cores and 12 performance cores, but these performance cores are derived from here. So they're not efficiency cores, not that connection. It's not this connection. It's kind of that way. So it's a different layout. And then again, on the M5 Max, you've got an 18-core CPU with that same kind of setup. So here's an overall view as we see over the years as the Pro Max. Now, as I said, there was always this scaling going this way, and this, the Ultra, was kind of a double of the Max because of that interconnect. So now we've got this different setup, especially here, if we look at these here. So the question is, how does that do for performance? And we'll talk about that. So with 4 additional CPU cores compared to the M4 Pro, the M5 Pro boosts multi-threaded performance by 30%. So switching over to 6 super 12 performance cores actually still results in a multi-threaded performance boost. And of course, the single core threaded performance is that of the M5 because it's that same core. And the M5 Max, because it's actually a lot closer to the M4 Max, it still offers a 15% boost in multi-thread, because basically remember, the M5 Pro and the M5 Max basically have the same CPU setup now. So there isn't that CPU difference so much. So that's why it's only a 15% growth. But on course GPU, you've got huge differences. M5 Pro and M5 Max offer 4 times the peak GPU compute compared to the M4 Pro and the M4 Max respectively, and 6 times the peak GPU compute compared to the M1 Max. So that's a pretty interesting number there. And then just talking about kind of, you know, gaming and rendering and things, the M5 Pro GPU is 20% faster than the M4 Pro GPU, which is 2.2 times faster than the M1 Pro. The M5 Max GPU is 20% higher than the M4 Max and 2.2 higher than the M1 Max GPU. So 20% in GPU, basically. And with Apple's third generation ray tracing engine, the M5 Pro Max provides a 30% ray tracing uplift compared to the M4 Pro Max. So basically, they're saying CPU, yes, better, 20%, depending on what configuration you get, GPU, much, much better. And that's the way they've gone with this configuration. What about RAM? Well, you can get up to 32 gigs in the M5. You can get 64 gigs in the M5 Pro, and you can get 128 gigs with the M5 Max. So what does that mean for memory bandwidth? Well, as you can see here, for the vanilla ones, it was 100, 120, 153. So that's gone up. The Pro now 150, 273, bumped up a good chunk, but now to 307 gigabytes. Per second. And on the Max side, we had, depending on which variant you got, either 300 or 400, 410, 546. Now the maximum is 614 gigabytes a second. Now the thing to remember about this is these numbers here are for the vanilla version, up to how much memory you've got. I just showed you the memory on the other one. The way Apple's memory architecture works is that with each extra chunk of memory that you have, you get a new controller. So the overall bandwidth, that's what bandwidth means, like of the whole system, is now up to 614 gigabytes a second because you've got up to 128 gigabytes of memory. So it really is, using each chunk of memory with its own controller, which can then bring it down onto the CPU to do whatever it needs to do with it. If you've got less memory down here, then you're at 153, 307. Look, 307 doubled is what? 614. So that's how it works. You double the memory, you double the number of controllers, therefore you double the number of overall bandwidth. It doesn't mean you get 614 gigabytes if you just try to read from one tiny bit of the RAM. But when you're accessing the whole RAM, like you do with a large language model, you have to go through the whole model in RAM, then this is really, really useful. So where can you get these new chips? At the moment, you can get them in the MacBook Pro 14 and 16 inch in a variety of combinations, some with less CPU cores, some with less GPU cores, just depending on what configuration you want to choose. So in conclusion, built using the new Apple design Fusion architecture, chiplets, tiles, however you want to call it. They have an 18-core CPU and up to a 40-core GPU. What were the performance cores are now called super cores. The efficiency cores are now called performance cores. However, they are a new design derived from the super cores, not from the previous generation. In fact, the M5 on its own, the vanilla M5's efficiency cores. And the M5 Pro boosts multi-threaded performance up by 30%. Compared to the M4 Pro, the M5 Pro, the M5 Max, 15%, because you're basically sticking with that same CPU across both devices. You're just getting more GPU in the Max. And the M5 Pro and the M5 Max offer up to four times the peak GPU compute for AI compared to the M4 Pro and the M4 Max. Okay, so there you have it, the M5 Pro and the M5 Max. Are you going to pick yourself up a Mac product with the M5 Pro or the M5 Max? Are you looking forward to a Mac Studio or a Mac Mini with maybe one of these in? Love to hear your thoughts, what you'd like to see from Apple about the M5 Pro and the M5 Max. My name's Gary Sims. This is Gary Explains. I really hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up. If you like this video, then why not stick around by subscribing to the channel? And if you want to support the channel, please do join one of the memberships. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.